Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is October the 5th, a great fall day in Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me today in the studio is Lee Cantor, our producer. How are you, Lee?
I am doing great. Big crowd you got here today, Sam.
I'm feast or famine. You know me.
You know. Is this the most we've had in it, or we've had a few more?
I think we've had guests of other other facilities, but this is a unique show today. The broadcast is going to be strictly from Atlanta, Georgia. We're not going to have a Dallas, Texas segment, and that is because today's show is dedicated to Wesley Wood Center of Emory Healthcare. What a great facility and organization that is. We're going to spend the entire 30 minutes, 45 minutes speaking about that. We have representatives from three, I believe, different disciplines of Wesley Woods, and we're going to speak with those various representatives, find out what they do and what makes Wesley Woods so unique. So, Lee, you have anything else to start off with?
We've got to get jump right in there.
Well, let's jump right in. Joining me today, as I said, are three different areas of Wesley Woods, one being the Towers, which is a residency facility of Wesley Woods. We're going to speak of that situation first. Also is a representative from Bud Terrace, which is the subacute rehabilitation unit of Wesley Woods. And last, the wound therapy clinic of Wesley Woods, which also includes acute rehabilitation services of Wesley Woods. So, to begin with, joining me from the Towers of Wesley Woods is Reverend Joyce Myers Brown. She is a resident there. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Also from the Towers is Joyce Wilson. So we have two Joyces from the same location, and our listeners know I'm going to mess this up, so just bear with me. Good morning, Joyce. How are you?
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
I appreciate everyone being with us. I'm going to begin with Joyce Wilson, simply because I'd like to have you begin to tell us a little bit about Wesley Woods. Can you give us a little bit of background history, how it began, why it exists, and things of that nature?
Well, in the early 50s, the North Georgia Conference of the United Methodist Church had a mission to take care of older adults, especially the poor. So the conference in the early 50s passed a resolution to try to build the first residential retirement community, which was Wesley Woods Towers. It's the first, or it's the flagship of Wesley Woods Center.
Now, real quick, sorry, but is it the same location as present?
Same location. Wow. Same location. And the property, it's 64 acres, was owned by Emory University, still owned by Emory University, but Emory University gave Wesley Woods Center the property for $1. So at this time, we are now owned by Emory University, but in the past, we were a nonprofit just renting the property for a dollar for 100 years. So Wesley Woods grew. The first building was Wesley Woods Towers, and it opened in 1965, then Bud Terrace in 1972, then Wesley Woods Health Center. I can't remember to give you all of those years, but on our campus is located the only freestanding geriatric hospital in the country, a geriatric clinic, a health center, which is also a clinic, and it also houses a number of research projects serving or treating conditions of older adults, and Bud Terrace, which is skilled nursing and subacute rehab. rehab. And also on our campus is located AG Roads. It is not owned by Wesley Woods Center, but it is housed on our property.
And what is AG Roads?
AG Roads is also a skilled nursing home and subacute rehab.
Okay. All right. Reverend Brown, tell me, Myers Brown, I apologize. Tell me, give us a little bit of your background, and what led you to Wesley Woods?
All right, be glad to. My husband and I are both retired ministers of the United Church of Christ, having served at different places in this country and around the world. My background is Africa, Angola. His was France, and we were both together in France in later years. We were living here in Atlanta, having retired, when his health began to fail, and he especially had mobility issues. And we were living in a second-floor walk-up condo just about a mile and a half from Wesley Woods. And at one point, we decided for our medical services we were going to investigate the outpatient program at Wesley Woods, having a friend who was a nurse there, and started using the services. Found a wonderful, wonderful doctor at Wesley Woods at the outpatient clinic, and also a dentist. So several years before we moved there, we were using Emory Healthcare services within a mile and a half of our condo. And then as walking became an issue, my husband was on a walker, which isn't too easy to manage up a couple flights of stairs. We decided it was time to move, and we looked at our United Church of Christ facilities, but there were none in the immediate vicinity. And although Wesley Woods Towers is owned and operated by Emory, there is still ties of various sorts with church communities, particularly the United Methodists, and there's always a chaplain as part of the program there and so on. Anyhow, for a number of reasons, geography and medical facilities being the first, we chose Wesley Woods.
Well, I think that story gives a very good overview of what Wesley Woods is all about. It's not about only about care, but it is about almost a lifestyle, total services, as you said, dental, medical, rehabilitation. It's a great services.
Now, when you were about to choose Wesley Woods, did you look at other facilities?
Yes, probably four or five in the Atlanta area. And something that appealed to me greatly, I'm a walker.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in exercise. And the campus of Wesley Woods, those 64 acres, are superior to anything that any other facility
has. It's all hills. That's why.
Not really. And actually, there's a trail. I can do 2 miles. I do 2 miles most days. Takes about a half hour, mostly through the woods.
And that trail is around the Wesley Woods campus.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't go up to,
nope,
to the university?
No, no. If you step out, you're going up a hill,
uh-huh,
a Clifton. But this is all, it's fairly level and beautiful. And there's a hothouse even that serves the hospital, and that's part of my trail that I do by the garden. And we have gardens and so on.
You do that year round?
Yes.
Even when it's cold?
Yes.
Wow.
So a few days I might decide the covers feel good and stay in bed, but generally, yes. We also have exercise as part of our program at the Towers, so we do weightlifting and arthritic exercising, stretch and bend and so on, 5 days a week.
Well, I can say, Reverend Myers Brown, that you're not the only person that uses the walking facilities, because I'm on the campus quite often, and they're always, no matter whether I'm there early in the morning or late at in the afternoon, there's always people out moving around. So I can relate to that. I'm an outdoors person. I'd rather be outdoors than sitting inside anyhow.
A couple of other things that, in looking at various facilities that greatly influenced me, were the spirit at Wesley Woods Towers. When you walk in, you see people who look happy, content, and just a very friendly, warm, loving atmosphere among the residents and with the staff. And that wasn't a false impression. I found that to be true after now living there 2.5 years. And another consideration is expense. And many of the other facilities I looked at had a swimming pool. We don't have a swimming pool,
uh-huh,
but we have a beautiful dining room. We have the grounds that I mentioned, and it is much more reasonable than any other place I looked at.
You mentioned the spirit and the level, the high level that you saw when you first came to visit. Why do you, can you tell us what manifests that? Do you have any idea?
Well, not to exaggerate, but we do have a wonderful administrator and a wonderful staff. There are roughly 32 people, hourly people, plus six, I guess, of the non-hourly. Somebody's holding me up. Whatever. We have some wonderful folks there who really care, and it shows in so many, many ways. Another thing that adds to the spirit is the Residents Association. We have an extremely active Residents Association with 10 committees that do all sorts of things, and floor representatives to help new folks, and just a very, very active program. And I had the fortune or misfortune, I wasn't sure at the time, of being asked to be to run for president shortly after I arrived there, since I'm not afraid to talk, get up in front of a group. Anyhow, that turned out to be a real blessing.
You brought us a power hitter is what you did, yeah. That's great. We certainly appreciate that input. Let me jump over to Joyce Wilson, which is, she is the director of the Wesley Woods Towers. You've been at Wesley Woods for 18 years. You mentioned that to me just before we began the broadcast. Why?
I've been at Wesley Woods Towers for 18 years, but I've been at Wesley Woods since 1978.
I apologize. I was mistaken. So you've been there a lifetime. How's that?
Yes. I've grown up there.
Why?
Why do I love Wesley Woods?
Yes.
It's a community where this is really true. I learn something new every day. I was telling Joyce that I'm like a sponge. I love learning, but I learn something new every day, and I don't think there is any place in your life where you can work and feel so loved. I have hundreds of mothers and several fathers. Our community is comprised of people from all over the country, all over the world, I'd say.
World.
And people of all kinds of experiences. And people visit me all the time. I have an open door policy, so I have lots of visits. And even when I'm out around the community, I get to experience people, and meaningful for me. Our organization is also one that believes in education for its employees. And so I have been afforded the opportunity of attending conferences all over the United States to learn how to care for older adults. When Joyce talks about the spirit of the community, in 1978, I had my first conference at Wesley Woods it was called Milieu Therapy, and that thought was to have the older adult have effect in where they live, some say, some voice. And so I've worked out of that premise all of my working career. And now, you know, the name has changed. It's called, I can't think of the name of the new care in nursing homes. What is it called, Carly?
The Eden Alternative?
No, it's the family-centered care, patient and family-centered care.
Well, it's been that way for us at Wesley Woods. Before that, it has even come to be now like a state regulation, and it's something that you have to do.
You were doing it before.
Yeah, we were doing even before it was a regulation or a law that's how you had to work. So
that's great. That's great. Tell us briefly about the facility. How many rooms do you have? What amenities are available?
Wesley Woods Towers has 201 apartments, and we have 20 of those apartments are a licensed personal care home in the state of Georgia. So within Wesley Woods Towers, there is residential, retirement living, and a personal care home. The amenities are, we are like a number of high-rises where residents have apartments, but we also have transportation to any Emory clinic on the Clifton Corridor and on the Wesley Woods campus. And we have transportation. We have two different types of transportation. We have transportation to local community malls and grocery stores 5 days a week. Most places don't.
Mm-hmm.
People have to pay for that. This is included in the rental rate. We have a very, we have an activities coordinator, and we have a variety of activities mm-hmm. for the residents. Our activities coordinator is a trained sports therapy person. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of exercise. We have exercise 5 days a week, arthritis exercise, chair exercise, stretch, and what is the stretch called, Joyce? Stretch and wake.
Stretch and bend or whatever.
Stretch and bend, whatever that exercise is.
Motion.
Yeah. And we also have at Wesley Woods something that's different from most retirement communities. We have a pastoral care program at the center.
Mm-hmm.
And every facility has a chaplain, and the chaplain does a devotional every week. He or she visits residents who are ill, residents who are pretty new to the community. And when any resident dies in our community, we have a memorial service that is conducted mm-hmm. by the chaplain. In our rental rate, we also have apartment cleaning once a week, laundry service, I've told you transportation, mm-hmm. beauty shop. You know, I don't have a script.
It's okay. I don't have a script. I'm trying to think of all of our amenities.
Well, is there something like any misconceptions when you're talking to somebody who's either thinking about being a resident themselves or maybe for an elder loved one? Is there a misconception that they have about this in general that you have to kind of allay some fears?
Oh, fears about coming to
right.
Well,
you know, moving from an independent state to now a less independent in some ways.
Yeah, a lot of older adults, when they're looking with their children,
right.
they feel like this is where they're going to go to die.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, some people come and their lives change. They live. My parents are a very good example of that. My parents lived in New Orleans, Louisiana, and they were a prisoner in their own home and chose to come to live.
And they don't realize it. It's like a gradual thing. They live there for years and years, and yes. they don't know that there's something else out there, and they... In their head, they might think this is a step back, but it's really a step forward.
It really is.
Reverend Myers Brown, did you lose independence and freedom when you came to Wesley Woods?
Not in the least, partly because I still drive. So I'm involved in a lot of church and peace and justice activities in the community. But I don't think anybody does
because
it's a full life.
Right. So the issue is you have whatever freedom your physical abilities allow you to have, whether it be in the home or at Wesley Woods. I think that's important.
But also you have the addition of peace of mind, right. I would think, that you wouldn't have
definitely.
If you were alone in your home.
You don't have the stress of having to take care of, clean your house or
right.
prepare your own meals. Or.
Well, I'll speak to the issue of the transportation. We had a little unique experience about 2 years ago, and this was from Bud Terrace. Transportation to a part of the Emory healthcare system for medical care. And the individual at Bud Terrace, she had no relatives. There was no one to assist her. Transportation was available, but she can't go alone. So they call us. I go and sit with her, go to the dentist, sit there. I did that three times. I mean, it was amazing. And I look around. I go, these people can go wherever they want to as long as they have someone with them to mm-hmm. make certain they're okay.
Right.
It's interesting. We certainly appreciate it. I could go on with the conversation of the towers for another 10 minutes, but we have other guests we have to get to. So thank you very much for being with us. Certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our next guest is Carly Ortland. Carly is with the Bud Terrace Rehabilitation Skilled Nursing side of Wesley Woods. She is the Director of Admissions there. Good morning, Carly. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Sam and Lee, for inviting me to come today.
As I said before the show began, I'm thrilled. I've been trying to do this show for quite some time. Thank you for being here. Why don't you give us a little bit of background about yourself, and then how did you come to be associated with Bud Terrace, and then explain to us what Bud Terrace actually does.
Okay, well, I'm originally from Dallas, Texas, so my drawl might come out a little bit.
We moved to Atlanta, Georgia when I was in high school, and I went to the University of Georgia where I got my undergrad degree in social work. As a social work student, you're placed in an internship setting, and my first internship was in a nursing home. I'd never stepped into a nursing home before. So it was definitely different because my grandparents were very healthy and played golf every day. And so I thought a nursing home was, you know, for sicker, older people. And I was definitely wrong. I had a great experience. I did social work from 1998 till 2007. And I worked at a couple different places. When it came to Bud Terrace, my role changed. I'm now in the admissions role, and I'm the director of admissions there at Bud Terrace. And basically, my job is to help people transition from the community or the hospital setting. If they're coming from the community, they are moving into our long-term care setting. If they're coming from the hospital, they're coming for subacute rehabilitation. And, you know, definitely nursing homes have changed throughout the years. We see a lot of younger patients now that come for rehabilitation, and younger could be 50s, 60s. I consider 70-year-olds young, too. And we also have people that come there to live, and it is their home. And it's not what the, you know, most of the public might think. It's elderly, sick patients, and that's not at all what we are.
Interesting point. Can you distinguish a resident that might be in the towers versus a resident that might be in Bud Terrace? What would distinguish the two individuals?
Well, the towers residents, like Reverend Joyce Myers Brown, are very independent. Some of them do drive their own vehicles. A long-term care resident in our setting, you know, they need some type of assistance with activities of daily living, getting up and around, you know, sometimes being able to dress themselves or needing help with getting to and from meals, or even more assistance. We provide all levels of care. We can take care of someone who's total care and needs everything done. And then we have some residents that, you know, are able to get around in a wheelchair or walker by themselves.
So in the definition of an assisted living, you really are more than a true assisted living facility.
We are actually a skilled nursing facility. So we're not assisted living. We are skilled nursing. The old term was nursing home. But, you know, most nursing homes nowadays are skilled nursing facilities that provide rehab as well. And that's what we do. Our population, we have 190 operating beds right now. We have about 175 patients. That can go up to, you know, 180, 185. And out of those patients, we can have about 70 that are there just for rehab, and the rest live there.
So about 50-50, if I heard the numbers. Is that right?
Well, it's more like about out of 190 patients right now, we have 175. 70 of those are rehab. So, okay.
Can you talk a little bit about when you were in college and you were thinking about social work as a career? In your head, you pictured it, I'm sure, a certain way, and then you said that when you went to your first nursing home, it was kind of different than you imagined. So now, how has your career, as it's evolved, how is it matching up with what you expected when you were in college?
Well, when I was in college, I was doing a lot of volunteer work, and you know, I wanted to, they call it, you know, when you're a social worker, you get a bachelor's in social work, you know, you want to save the world.
Right.
And so I did. I wanted to help people, and that's what motivated me. And I'm still kind of doing that because I do help people transition. I talk to a lot of families that just don't know what to do. A lot of times I'm the first phone call, and they don't really need our facility, but I can refer them to other places, or just in my experience, what I've known from the past that could help their loved one transition to whatever they need, whether it's assisted living or nursing home.
I think that's a great service and differentiator of Wesley Woods. You can speak virtually, and I deal with a lot of different areas. You can speak virtually to any social worker at any discipline or division of Wesley Woods, and they're going to be able to assist you with your specific need. If that need is not defined by what they do, that social worker can refer you to another facility within the complex that can take care of that situation. Many times I hear the statement of people who are at typical assisted living facilities, why need this service? Well, we don't provide it. Our, you know, our license does not allow us to provide. It's not that they don't want to. It's that they're not licensed to do so. Well, then what do you do? Then you got to completely go outside the realm of your comfort zone to find someone who does, whether it be inside in your home or in the resident or somewhere else. That's a great differentiator.
Yeah, I do have a hospital social workers all the time call me and say, I just want to pick your brain about something. How can I help this family? You know, and generally I'm able to help. So it's great. We have a great relationship with Emory Hospital. They send us our referrals for our rehab patients. Mm-hmm. We get them from other hospitals as well. We do have the Emory Orthopedic and Spine Hospital that sends us referrals for orthopedic patients, and we have a orthopedic rehab unit that's just for the patients that are recovering from a hip fracture or a knee replacement type surgery.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier as you began that you assist individuals in transitioning into Bud Terrace from wherever they may be coming, and in transitioning out of Bud Terrace, assuming that going home or to another. What's the difference? When someone's transitioning into, what are some of the concerns that they might have at that point?
Well, I think the main concern, especially with the family members, they want to make sure their loved one is cared for and that there's caring staff. That would be the main thing. And then obviously that they're medically competent and trained and licensed. You know, all of our staff is licensed to take care of the loved ones. So those are the two main concerns. And then, you know, I think Joyce was mentioning earlier, people are concerned that they're going to come there and that's it. And so that's definitely a misconception. A lot of people come to live there. They make friends. It's a social environment. So they're not just sitting at home in front of the TV waiting for their son or daughter to come home. They're actually in their own room where they've made friends, where we have activities and things to do. That's for long-term care. Short-term care, you know, most of those people are there just to focus on the rehab, which we do provide, and we provide physical, occupational, and speech therapy.
And as those short-term individuals are rehabbing, what are some of their concerns in transitioning out of the rehab back to either their home or wherever they may go?
Well, that they go home to a safe environment, that, you know, if they aren't able to get back to their prior level of functioning, can they still maneuver? Can they still drive a car? Can they still get meals? And we have social workers that help with discharge planning and can connect them with services in the community that can help provide assistance.
That's great. If you had to put your finger on one outstanding aspect of Bud Terrace, can you, very shortly, in brief time, can you give us that golden nugget?
Well, Bud Terrace has been good luck for me since I started working there. I met my husband, got married, and we just had a baby.
Congratulations.
In May. So I love working there. I think the staff there really cares about the residents, and I love my coworkers. I think that they really, really care. And I've worked in other places, and, you know, I just think the feeling of Bud Terrace is different. There's definitely a spirit there. Part of being connected with Emory Healthcare is great, too, because if our residents need something, they can often get it. There's not, you know, well, no, we can't. There's no budget, or, you know, there's never. And if the patients need it, they get it at Bud Terrace.
That's great. Carly, I certainly appreciate it. Again, I hate to end this conversation, but you've been a great guest. I'd love to do it again and explore Bud Terrace more. Thank you for being.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. The third discipline that we're going to address is the Wound Therapy Clinic of Wesley Woods Center. We have two individuals. We have Marion Waugh, which is an RN manager of that, I guess, discipline. And also joining us is Dr. Doris Armour. Dr. Armour is the medical director there. For our listeners who heard the little beep, Dr. Armour just got paged, so we're going to allow her to take care of
that. I apologize for that.
You take care of that first, and we'll begin with Marion and come back to you. Good morning. How are you, Marion?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Why don't you tell us your background, where you're from, and how did you get to Wesley Woods?
Okay. I have a long history, so I'll make it short. Came to the United States by way of Canada. I was went to a private university in Barron Springs, mm-hmm. Michigan, did my nursing degree there. Mm-hmm. Since then moved from Michigan to Georgia and was recruited by Emory Wesley Woods and started at Wound Care Clinic in 2004. Mm-hmm. I also graduated from Emory WOCN Wound Ostomy and Continence Nursing Program.
Say that again slowly for, what is it?
Wound Ostomy and Continence Nursing Program at Emory, and was certified in wound care and started in 2004 at Emory, promoted to a managerial position in 2006. And have been there since.
That's great. That's great. I see that Dr. Armour's ready to join us, so we're going to welcome her. Good morning.
Good morning.
Take a deep breath. It's everything's fine.
I apologize for that.
We expect that. In fact, if we don't have it, it's not exciting.
That's right.
Dr. Armour, tell us your background, if you would, and how did you come to Wesley Woods?
Well, I am from St. Louis, and I have wanted to be a physician for most of my life. I went to medical school in St. Louis, trained to become a primary care physician and practice primary care medicine for 16 years in Chicago. I worked at a group of community health centers in Chicago and left there as their medical director. I was, at about the time I was trying to retooled the balance between administrative duties and patient care duties. My husband was offered a position here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and we relocated here. And on arrival here, I provided on a temporary basis to the stroke rehab service at Emory.
Okay.
The medical director. Mm-hmm. I became the medical director there temporarily, and serving as a medical director for the stroke service, I realized there was an opportunity for an internal medicine physician to be on staff there at the rehab hospital. I discussed it with the other physicians at the rehab hospital, and we decided I would continue on board providing internal medicine support for those patients that came to acute rehab. I was doing that for about 4 years when the Department of Rehab Medicine was approached by the wound care clinic at Wesley Woods that they were in need of a physician to provide wound care services for their wound clinic. And given my experience in primary care medicine, as well as caring for the patients at the rehab hospital, many of which have chronic wounds, we decided I would be the appropriate person.
Tell us, when you say wound care, there's a couple of images, but the main image that comes into my mind is, you know, a stab wound or a gunshot wound. I don't think that's what we're talking. Tell us what we're speaking of here.
When we talk about wound care, we talk primarily about chronic wounds. Mm-hmm. What you've mentioned are acute wounds. Those are generally cared for in acute settings, emergency rooms, and by primary care physicians and other specialists who take care of mm-hmm. acute issues. Once a wound doesn't heal in the fashion you anticipate, or if you have a wound associated with a chronic medical illness, then you might seek the services of a wound care professional.
I don't know how to ask this. Why would a wound be classified as chronic? What are some of the elements that manifest that?
It would not heal. Say a traumatic wound would not heal mm-hmm. in the time frame you'd anticipate it would, or a wound that's associated with a chronic medical condition can become a chronic wound because it is the reason for its being there lies in the chronic medical illness.
Is this a common problem, or is this something that happens rarely?
It is, unfortunately, a common problem that is becoming much more common as the population ages. Chronic medical illnesses such as diabetes and arteriovascular atherosclerotic disease are becoming more common. These are conditions that lend themselves to development of chronic wounds. Additionally, as we age, we tend to have more medical issues. This creates some loss of mobility for us, creates more hospital days, more inpatient days. That loss of mobility can contribute to formation of things like pressure ulcers and other issues. So unfortunately, it's a common problem that is becoming more common.
Marion, it seems to me also that as we age, our immune system becomes weaker, degresses, that's right. And consequently, wounds, just normal wounds, just will not heal. And obviously, they're susceptible to infections and various things. What are some of the ways to avoid that as we age? Is there...
Well, one of the main things to avoid is not using abrasive substances on your wounds, on your skin, and being very diligent in skincare. We tend to feel that we need to wash and scrub our skin, you know, really, really hard, and we do not need to do that at all. Taking very careful attention to tapes that even Band-Aids that you put on your skin. Keeping your skin dry, acidic, and supple, meaning moisturizing your skin, not having hot baths, but having tepid water, you know, warm bath or cool showers, and so your skin doesn't dry out. Because when your skin dries out, that's when it's prone to crack. And when your skin is prone to crack, that's when you get little fissures and ulcers. And these are the patient that has, you know, comorbidities like vascular disease or diabetes. These cracks can become large wounds.
So my mother, using a number 2-aught sandpaper wash rag with a big finger inside my ear, reaming it, it was not the appropriate technique. Is that correct?
No. And as we get older, when our tensile strength in our skin gets thinner, we do not need to scrub our skin at all.
Interesting. I'm going to regress here a little bit.
Yes.
While I was in school, I was a surgical technician. Mm-hmm. And so we scrubbed, you know, and we scrubbed with scrub brushes mm-hmm. for, depending upon whether it was an orthopedic or non-orthopedic case, anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes. Do they do that now? Do they still scrub like that?
In the operating room, they do.
Well, no, if it's bad for us, that doesn't resonate.
Well, your objective in the operating room is to prepare yourself to deliver care to the patient that's there, and you want to minimize the number of bacteria on your skin to do that. But on the day-to-day basis, that repeated scrubbing of the skin does.
Okay. It's overkill for a regular person.
Well, you know, I always thought it was overkill anyway, because, you know, you cannot possibly keep a sterile environment longer than several minutes at best, unless you are a statue doing nothing, and even then it doesn't work. So.
And as we age, you know, our skin gets thinner. And it's more susceptible to the temperature and heat and the humidity. And you do not want to scrub your skin, because that's when it's going to be prone to get cracks and fissures.
What about all these spa things everywhere that are doing all kinds of wacky things? That's not a good idea?
Well, you know...
Speak your mind. We're not afraid of it.
I've never been to a spa, I'll tell you this much. So I'm not sure what they do. But anything in excess is not good.
Right.
You know, because
so maybe occasionally that maybe would be all right, but every day is not a good idea.
Right, and submerging yourself in water, just be careful.
Right.
Yeah.
The other important aspect of preventing wounds is ensuring that any underlying illnesses that you have are optimally managed. So for your diabetics, you want to make sure their blood sugars are very well controlled. If you have hypertension, heart disease, or any other markers of atherosclerotic disease, you want to make sure that those are under control. If your cholesterol is elevated, you want to make sure that that's under control. If you have illnesses that cause you to take medications that affect the strength and health of your skin, you want to pay particular attention to that. And as Marion said, the hallmark, the foundation of good wound care is good skin care.
You mentioned earlier that you see an increase in the number of chronic wounds. Is that specific to the elder population, or is that in general a statement about the full population?
One of the sorrows I have in medicine is how the patients I see coming in with the consequences of chronic illnesses like strokes and amputations are younger and younger. Those chronic medical illnesses like hypertension and diabetes occur earlier and earlier in our population. So no, they aren't the hallmark of the elderly. But the longer we live on this planet, the more we are at risk of developing illnesses like that.
But why is it happening at an earlier age? Can you speak to that, or is that...
Well, there are a couple of theories. One, there is the increasing weight of our population, particularly where we sit right now in this portion of the country. The obesity rates are increasing really exponentially. That's not an excessive word for that. And as those rates increase, the rates of illnesses like diabetes and hypertension and the occurrence of things like strokes and heart attacks will increase.
I hear it over and over again about the overweight of the American population. Yes. And how we don't understand how massive, how great the impact is on our health. That's great. Tell us, in the wound clinic, is it an outpatient clinic? Is it an inpatient? Is it a combination? What is it?
It is an outpatient clinic. We serve outpatients, individuals referred from within Emory and from the Atlanta area and the surrounding areas. There is a team of WOCN, the wound and ostomy care nurses, that provide wound care to inpatients at all of the Emory hospitals. But the wound clinic serves outpatients. We serve a number of the patients that were cared for, whose wounds were cared for on an inpatient basis. They'll continue to receive care for their wounds post-discharge at our clinic.
I think an important point, again, the facilities at Wesley Woods are not specific for Emory Healthcare. Individuals outside of that arena can use those facilities, services also. Now, typically they have to be referred, but they can certainly.
They can self-refer also, and I'd like to underscore that the Wesley Woods Wound Clinic is open to Emory patients and non-Emory patients. It's open to the public at large. We actually have a number of patients from within the Atlanta area, but from the regional area. We have patients coming to us from Savannah, from Tennessee, from North Carolina, from Alabama to receive wound care services.
And obviously that has to be a statement about the level of care.
That's right.
True? Now you can speak to that. We want you to.
Of course.
We like to think
listen,
so.
I'll say it. I've told my listeners time and time again, for the overall care of the elderly, I know no facility, no organization better than Wesley Woods. I've taken our clients that have lived in North Forsyth County and recommended that they come to Wesley Woods, and some do, some don't, because of the distance, but it certainly is great.
I'd like also to note that the majority of our patients are elderly, but we accept patients of all ages, adult patients of all ages,
yes,
from 16 years of age up.
That's right. Just want to throw that in.
It might be hard to get a 22-year-old, but I understand what you're saying. Marion, did you have something you want?
No, that's what I was going to add, that we see 16 years and older.
Marion, how many patients a day come through the clinic? Do you have any idea?
We have an average of 15 to 28. Mm-hmm. Our busiest days are our busiest day actually is Tuesday, but we see an average, the least amount of patients we see on a day is a 15. And you have to understand that it might sound not a lot, but our patients are have chronic wounds. They have, some of them have multiple wounds, 17, 8. We have as many as 17 wounds, and we have as little as one wound. And so the care that we deliver, you know, when it comes to assessing them, we do take pictures of their wounds. We document their wound, and the doctor comes in and sees them. We debride the wound, we take the vitals, we do all the assessment. It's a long visit. So the visits can take anyway from an hour to 3 hours.
Is there any time element in the treatment of a wound from when you begin to when you discharge, or is it just all over the board depending upon what it is?
There is. Usually we'd like to see a wound heal within, statistics say that a wound should heal within 6 weeks. If we haven't had that progress, we have what you call outliers. And we, you know, some of our patients, because of the chronicity of their wounds and because some of our patients have a lot of comorbidities there, we have referrals from, they have other comorbidities like cancer and arterial disease and diabetes. Sometimes that, you know, are because we are treating the whole patient, they might go longer than 6 weeks. And some of our patients do a palliative. So, you know, it's hard to, and because of their age, to say that, you know, we're going to see a patient for 6 weeks, and if their wound is healed, we're going to heal them. The younger patients, we can see that, but our elderly patients take a longer time to heal.
Great. Marion, one final question for you. Why are you still at Wesley Woods?
Because of the community. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with elderly patients when I was in home care, and I find that they have a wealth of information. I've seen patients who are inventors. I've seen patients who are doctors and nurses and all different, you know, educational background. And they have a wealth of knowledge. And I learn from them in delivering care to them. I've learned from them. And it's, a, you know, Wesleywood's a community. We treat the patient's wounds. You have a geriatric hospital. You have a mood disorders clinic. We have radiology. We can take care of every patient need right on campus. And then there's Bud Terrace. So if they need to go to a nursing home, then we have that too. Yeah. So it's just the community taking care of the elderly is wonderful.
That's great.
It's very rewarding.
That's great. Dr. Armour, any last words that you'd like to plug for Wesleywood?
I can definitely echo what Marion has stated. I started out in primary care, went into administrative medicine, made a decision to practice almost exclusively administrative medicine, but the patients kept calling me back. Mm-hmm. And Wesleywood is a perfect example of what I love about continuing to deliver patient care.
Great. Dr. Armour, as we wrap up and as we typically do every show, for those listeners who have someone who is in need of some care, an elderly, and they are beside themselves, it usually is a very difficult, stressful time period. What piece of advice might you give them as they start trying to wade through all the information?
There are two key things I'd urge you to keep in mind. The first, for your loved ones who are elderly and seeking medical care, I can't overstress the need to be engaged and involved. For any of us coming to see a provider with a medical illness, there's going to be stress associated with this. There's going to be a lot of emotion associated with this. It's difficult to absorb everything that's going to be communicated to you during any interaction with a healthcare professional. Another set of ears is always helpful. But if this is your loved one we're talking about, it's important that you understand what's being communicated to your loved one and understand what's being recommended that they do. And you can only help them by being involved and helping them to absorb what's being communicated to them. The second thing is, after being in primary care for 25 years now, it's clear that I'm an advocate for primary care. And what I tell any individual in determining how they're going to get the medical services they need is, don't underestimate the importance of establishing a good relationship with a good primary care physician. For elderly patients, it would be ideal if that individual is a geriatrician, just as all the physicians at Wesleywood are. But that primary care relationship is key. Many of us have very diverse needs of our healthcare professionals. Many of us have to see a lot of different specialties. We have different illnesses. We're prescribed different medications. They may not necessarily interact well with one another. One specialist may not understand how the illness they're treating impacts the disorder another specialist may be addressing. A good primary care physician will help you, a good primary care provider will help you navigate that, keep informed of what's going on, communicate with the other professionals that you're seeing, and make sure you stay out of harm's way. Those are the two things I'd urge you to consider.
The latter is a great statement, continuity of care, and that's what you don't see out in the kind of market and what Wesleywood brings to play. We certainly thank you for that piece of advice. I just want to take the opportunity once again to thank Reverend Joyce Myers Brown and Joyce Wilson from the Towers. Thank you for being our guest. Also, Carly Ortland, we thank you for being with us. And last, Marion Waugh and Dr. Armour, thank you. Lastly, thank you. I'd like to mention one more name that chose not to be a guest, but that certainly was the driver of this show, and that is Christy Sullivan. Christy is the senior outreach liaison for market development of Wesleywood. I spoke with Christy maybe 2 months ago, asked her if she was interested in doing this, and she said, yeah, and I know she spent hours pulling all the guests together. So thank you, Christy, for your efforts. That's it for today. What a great show. I want to remind our listeners that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. We once again thank our guests. And in closing, as we always do, if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.